We're going to start with Romans. Record. All right, here we go. Romans 14. Go ahead and shut that door anyway so it won't be any disturbance. Back in the back.
Sterling may step in. He's got GB's truck.
Okay.
Settle in.
All right, now when we've been on Romans 13, we finished it up. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We got through that. Now, remember, chapter 14 is where we kind of ended off. That's not a chapter. That's a continuation of the letter from 13 to 14. Excuse me. And then, so his whole letter was, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Then, he's continuing his thought, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. Now, as we were talking last Sunday, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Now, that would be more of your conversation. When somebody comes in new, you don't want to beat them to death. I've seen people come in brand new in the message and people start saying, you got to know the seals and you got to know this. That's doubtful disputation. That don't make them, don't put doubts in their mind. They got enough doubts in their mind to start with. Because Satan is going to absolutely try his best to hinder any new Christian, much less us older ones that's been in the way for a while. But the younger ones are so soft and pliable, they can be swayed back and forth. So Paul's saying, look, him that's weak in the faith, receive him, don't do it. Obviously, you got to bring him in, and him or her, and you got to bring him into the fold, bring him into the... they're in the family of God, they just begin to know their new family members. But not to doubtful disputations. Brother Dick doesn't mind me telling, he's always told me that he's bruised a lot of fruit. Why? Because you jump on somebody and then you just dump the load, you know. Let's don't dump the load is what Paul said. You're going to see these new weak Christians. Now, Paul saw more of that than anybody because the way he would go around to different places setting up churches. Well, they were babies. Even the great mighty church at Ephesus started as a baby. Everybody starts as a baby. Except for the 120 in the upper room that started at the faith of the fathers. But see, then they had to go out and distribute the gospel to babies. Alright, so the babies is ones that, like Paul said, look, just be careful. Bring them in. But not to doubtful disputation. And the worst thing you can do is bring a new convert in and have two older people sit there and argue about doctrine. That's the worst thing you can do. The best thing to do is let them be in the message for a while. Let them sit. Let them hear what's going on. And Paul's the same way. Because you say, well, we're talking about the message. Well, Paul's message too. Paul's message was just as important as his day as our message is for our day. Because Paul had a message for the day, and he was delivering that message to a bunch of people. He would go to Antioch, he would go to this one, he would go to Asia, he would go to all these different places, and he met weak Christians. Well, he didn't go in and just jump on them about everything in the world. No. What? He stayed with them, the prophet said. He stayed with them, found one guy that he could establish in the faith, let that person do the preaching, and he moved on. All right, so that's the way we should do. I just disagree with these people that think they have to go to India, Africa, or whatever, and stay there for years, months, years. Why? Even, you know, with a chance, I'm going to the Philippines in March. We're going back to Palawan, where there's 30-something message churches. Well, there's no need for me to go around and preach to all 30 message churches. But if you'll gather all the ministers in, we're going to gather them all in one place, feed them, and have a day or two seminar. Let them ask questions. And let us try to what? Strengthen them, because I want them to go back. Because, who was it? I think it was Brother Vernon. You know, you come in, oh, that brother from America was good. What'd he say? I don't know, but he was a good brother. You know, well, what'd he be done? But if you can get somebody there established, like Paul did... And don't go over there and argue about stuff. Go over there and establish the people, and then let that preacher go out. Like the one that Brother Luis and Christine run into, Sister Christine run into, that was preaching Daniel 70 weeks, preaching it correct, and didn't even have a chart. He just had the Bible and the message book. So I don't understand how, because we can get so revelated to our own ideas. Because truthfully, I believe if you'll leave them alone, give them a little bit of encouragement, give them a little bit of help, but leave them alone. Let them do their job in their community. Let them do their job in their country. Right?
Language.
Hmm?
In their language.
And in their language. See, there's always a language. When you go overseas,
right,
there's always a language barrier, and there's always, and maybe a preacher not so much, but a teacher like myself that needs to take time. You're so rushed because you're actually preaching two sermons. You're preaching one, then you got to wait on that guy to interpret to preach another one. So you, instead of an hour sermon, you've turned it into 2 hours, but you've only given them an hour's worth of content. And I don't mind that, but still, you just don't get as much accomplished, I don't think, as if you were to sit down for 2 hours and talk to that one brother, establish him in the gospel, then let him go and preach for years to his congregation. And let that congregation, be built up in God. Alright, so not to doubtful disputation. So let's just keep this in mind, just for some simple thought.
Look up that word.
It's don't disputation. We'll do that right here.
I know you.
It means a distinguishing, discerning, or judging. Alright, so in other words, disputation, in other words, you're sitting around talking about doctrine, but he puts this word into it. Doubtful,
yeah,
disputation. So doubtful disputations mean that, what, you're talking about something, the thinking of a man deliberating with himself, which means his own idea. You don't want to have your own idea. You want to just do like Paul says, because watch. Now here he's going to explain. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. If you're a vegetarian, you're weak. No, that's what the Bible says. Another who is weak eating herbs. And I'm going to have a good salad today, but you know what? I'm going to have a good big old piece of meat somewhere in there. But no, look, for if one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let him not that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. In other words, if they're both bride of Jesus Christ, what does it matter if he eats meat or if he eats, if he's a vegetarian? All right. But what's he saying now? He's saying, well, that's okay to do that. But I'm going to tell you that he was meaning in the spiritual also. There's meat eaters in the gospel, and there's salad eaters in the gospel, or milk drinkers. Don't be so over-forceful that you choke the meat down the baby and kill the baby before the baby has the time to enjoy its milk. Then eat something. And poor old green peas that they used to feed, still feed babies. Oh, gross. Anyway, but now I like peas, but don't crush them up. Let me crush them up. But you see what I mean about it? But in the gospel, the same way, you know, somebody, you have to bear with somebody and let them grow up just like you did, because you got to remember somebody bore with you while you were growing up. Right? So that's what Paul's saying. Now remember, he's going to the Romans with this, so he's trying to tell them when he gets there, this is what he's going to do. I saw a movie one time about Paul. It was a good one. Anthony Hopkins played Paul, and what the movie was about was Paul would go into a city, and he would, now he spent a little time, but he would get right in with their customs and listen to what was going on. And like I said, he would, if it was a place where they didn't eat any fish, he didn't eat fish. He didn't go in and say, bless God, I'm a fish eater, give me some fish. No, he waited around, and he stayed there with them. And it shows him in the movie even coming in and playing with the kids and dancing with them. And well, why? I mean, if you bring a guy in and you just bring him in like a policeman and you start hammering people, a lot of people are going to move away from that. But if you'll come in and not judge the people that doesn't eat strong meat, I know we preach here about eating strong meat, but you got there has to be diversity in the body. There's diversity in the body. The some people that like milk, if they're still bright, they're bright. They're still bright. If they like milk, they're still bright. But don't put them down. But now remember too, if you're called to be a meat eater, you'll find somewhere where the meat's at, and you'll start eating meat, the meat of the gospel. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Do everybody understand that? I'm not to judge. He's even bringing it in the carnal aspect of another man's servant. I'm not supposed to look at another man's servant and say, why is he doing this? Well, if he's a servant of mama, then what's my business? What they have in agreement. The same thing with me. If I have a servant in the house, that's what he's saying. But he's also saying the same thing about, I like what Brother Brown said, every church is sovereign. Every church is sovereign. If it's like Brother Longora said, if you want to play tapes, you know, we were talking about somebody playing. If you want to play tapes every Sunday afternoon and you're the pastor of that church, there's no, I mean, for what's for us to say you can't do that? There is no right or wrong in that aspect. Now, I don't have to sit there and listen to it. I can move. I can go somewhere else. To his own master he standeth or falleth. So in other words, with God, we're all going to be judged separate as individuals. We're not going to be judged as a group. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Let's see what that word holden means. Made to stand up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another man esteemeth every day alike. You see what he's saying? He's giving us a contrast because some people, and it's okay to do that. Some people enjoy going and looking at, like we went through the feast days and all that stuff. In the Jewish aspect, it's okay to study that, but let's don't stay on it because we're not Jews. We get enough of the spirituality of the Jew part than for us to. And you see it sometimes. I take it back to a non-message preacher, but somebody on the internet that he brings in this Jewish guy, and they do all these Jewish rituals. I don't see any profit to that. And I don't look on the calendar and see when it's Kwanzaa and when it's this eye and that eye and, you know, all the things like that. I don't care. I really don't. And that's what Paul's saying. But now don't bash the person that does that. Maybe they have a purpose to do that. I just don't think that we as Gentiles have anything to do with Jewish customs. We should not. We shouldn't do the Hanukkah and all. But it is good, though, like we were talking about last night in Bible study. It is good that you can see that Jesus was killed on Passover because he was the Paschal Lamb. He was the Passover Lamb. He had to be killed on Passover. And he had to come back on the day of Pentecost as the baptism of the Holy Ghost 50 days after his comes from the feast of Passover. Until the Feast of Pentecost is 50 days. That's why he called it Pentecost. It's 50 days. So Jesus had to come back in the form of the Holy Ghost 50 days after the crucifixion. 3 days he was, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He rose. We were talking about the 30 to 40 days. And then Jesus goes back and ascends 11 days before the Feast of Pentecost, because that's what the Bible says. When the Feast of Pentecost was, day of Pentecost was fully come, which means that 50th day, that's when the Holy Ghost fell. So if you deduct 3 days and 11 days, you've got your 30 to 40 days that Jesus was among the people in a glorified body, and where Brother Brown says, because there's no Bible to say that we're going to be here 30, 40 days after the resurrection. Brother Brown is typing it that we're going to be here for 30, 40 days like Jesus when he raised in a glorified body until his ascension was 30 to 40 days. Right? And then Brother Branham explains very, very well in several. We didn't get to read it last night, but I was flipping through them. Where he said, the Lord knows, we know we're going to meet him in the air. Right. So he's not here physically. But when those saints come, he said, He said, what we'll do is we'll take that time to be with family and ask who made it, who didn't make it, be able to see the people that we're going up with. That's what Brother Brown told us, that 30 to 40 days is Jesus knows that all the attention won't be on him, because we know we're going to, when we take a rapture, we know we're going to meet him in the air. That's what the Bible says. Okay? So we're physically not going to meet Jesus here. We're going to meet him in the air, so we're looking forward to that. But in between that time of resurrection and body change, there's going to be a 30, 40-day period for us to get what? Acquainted with the ones that have come back. That's what the prophet says, so that's exactly what I feel. That it's not going to be, it's not a doctrine that 30 to 40 days, but he's typing it with Jesus. Because remember, when he resurrected in a glorified body. He was seen at the road of Emmaus. He was seen of almost 500 brethren, the Bible says. So he was seen of a lot of people. But only 120 went to the upper room. So same way with us, there's only going to be a small group of people that, in this age, that takes that ascension. So it's just a type. There is nowhere in the Bible that says we're going to be here, because the Bible says we shall be changed in the moment, twinkling of an eye, and be caught and meet the Lord. It doesn't say nothing about days, but we don't even assume, because I can't assume, even Brother Brown said, we will be here 30 to 40 days. So we will be here for 30 to 40 days. To get acclimated with each other, get our body changed, and to see who made it, see who didn't make it, and then we're going to come to a place where we take a physical rapture and go into another dimension where Jesus is.
How is the rapture a secret then? That's what I don't understand. If we're here, you know, fellowshipping with people that have gone on and come back.
Yeah, but nobody's going to be able to see them but you.
Yeah, that's it.
Nobody's going to be able to see them but you. That's the secret.
Yeah, but
what? Go ahead.
I don't know. It just everybody seems it's going to be.
Everybody's not going to see it.
No, but the way you're acting is going to let them know something's
up. No, they're just going to think you're much more crazy than they thought you were before, because you're talking to a void there, and there's people standing here, and you're standing there talking to them. They call that, they have a name for that. What we didn't realize last night, we didn't bring this thought into bear. That 30 to 40 days, this is what I see is, it's going to be such a worldwide chaotic condition, they're not going to care whether you stand and talk to that wall. Either California's going to sink or getting ready to sink, series of earthquakes are going to happen, the world economy's going to... They're not going to care where you are. Because remember, we're not going to be hunted down. Our persecution has come where we maybe come up to that point. We might not get a meal or two, or we might have to, give our life for the gospel, but we'll be the ones that come up. But, yeah, during that time, it's not going to be and there's not going to be, and I found a quote last night. I'm getting away from this, but it's a question on our mind. Where Brother Brown said the graves will open. Listen, the graves will not physically open. You're not going to walk out in the funeral, in the graveyard, and some's going to have piles of dirt pulled back and some's not. No, that's the secret part. Because they're going to take that glory, they're going to come down with that theophany, connect with that body, make it glorified, and do just like Jesus did and walk through the wall. They're just going to come right out and appear among us. Okay? So, that is the secret part. It is a secret coming. So,
if the rapture is a secret, wouldn't you not be able to tell people that you see everyone from the other side?
You can tell everyone, but if they're not bright and if they're not born again, they're going to think you're an idiot. Because they're not going to be able to see it.
What about a foolish virgin?
No. Only the bride will see each other. Only the born-again believers. No. Foolish virgin, rest of the world, they're not born again, so they have nothing to connect with. See, we're talking about people and places, and it's all the Holy Ghost inside of you. It's your theophany. If you're born again, then it's just as eternal as God is already. Now, if somebody's not born again, they're not eternal. That, to me, that's the secret part. Is that even the foolish virgins, and I was looking up that quote, I'll find it later on, where Brother Brown said, Christian people, so-called Christian people, after the rapture takes place will still think they're getting saved. Now they can't. So who's doing that? The devil's doing that. The devil's making, what's the devil doing now? He's making people believe they're saved when they're not. So that's the same thing. And then Brother Branham also said, he said some people will be standing, like I said last night, they'll be listing. Well, I thought this was supposed to happen. I thought this was supposed to happen. I thought this was supposed to happen. He said that still small voice will speak and say, you missed it. It's already happened. Now that may be to the foolish. See, that would be to me to the foolish virgin. Because nobody else would care. He's not going to go to the drunk in the bar room and say, hey, buddy, you missed it. No, he's going to go to the religious group that come to sanctification, that made themselves pure in their spirit realm, but not in their soul, right? And they're foolish virgins. So he's going to come to them and say, hey, you missed it. So then Brother Branham said they would have to give their life in the tribulation period for what they believe, because there is going to be a group of people that's going to be killed during the tribulation period that are foolish virgins. They're going to have to give their life for even what they stand for, even in a sanctified condition. So there's that group of people that's going to probably, let me finish your question. They won't be able to see the dead saints. Well, why call them dead saints? They're not dead. The saints we can't see right now. That we're going to be able to see.
The risen saints.
The risen saints. If they're going to be here and we're going to be able to converse with them, then the foolish virgin is going to be so close, because remember, they're right there saying, give me some of that oil. They were right there with. The five wise and foolish were not even in two buildings. They were in the same building. Basically the same place. Because there was five wise and five foolish. They were in the same place. They weren't one in one country and one in another. They were in the same place. Because what happened is, when the foolish realized the wise were getting ready to go, they what? Give us some of your oil.
Right.
They knew where to go to. Give us some of your oil. So they're going to be so close that they're going to be able to maybe even feel the pull, or feel what's going on, or even, because even a foolish virgin, if you're a foolish virgin, you got enough of God in you to know that there's supposed to be a rapture, a resurrection, a change, and a rapture. So that's what I mean. Not to the whole world, but to that foolish virgin, maybe that's when God will say, you missed it. But maybe he'll comfort and say, look, I got to put you through tribulation because you didn't exactly accept everything you got. But you're going to have to die for me. And to me, that's great. To me, that's wonderful.
And get it in the white throne.
And get it at the white throne. Right.
And they're still considered virgins.
Yes, they are virgins. They're virgins because they're virgins of something. They're not polluted by the world. So they, be real honest with you, most of them's going to be people that thinks they're bride of this message. Because the preachers can't preach the new birth the way they're supposed to be preached. So they're going to be fooled. That's why you call them foolish virgins. Okay, now that we got all that subject taken care of, let's get back to what we were talking about. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So in other words, have a conviction, convinced, or a conviction in your own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. That's why we should pray over our food, give God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. In other words, you're not your own God. You're not. You're living by principle, and you're going to die by principle, natural or spiritual, because people are going to die spiritually that don't accept God. Well, what do they got to do? They have to turn down God. Right? For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live at, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. So that puts everything, let's see what that is right there, lived again. Because Christ did. He died, rose, and I was thinking last night, go back to what we were talking about, the resurrection. And Brother Dale was talking about Satan impersonating the resurrection. He can do that. The way he can impersonate the resurrection is how? We're going to see the resurrection of people coming here in glorified bodies. But who's to say that God will not be still raising the dead of people that's not in glorified bodies? Everybody understand what I mean? I guess not. Anyway, you do? Okay, some do, some don't. So for those that don't, we're going to explain. So what happens is we're going to be standing. We're going to see the dead saints walk in. They're going to have a glorified body. They're going to be able to... Their characteristic is they can vanish, they can reappear, they can walk through the walls. They're not going to be hindered. But now, because remember, Brother Brown said that God's the one that raises the dead. No problem with that. Satan can't do that. But there can be an impersonator that can raise the dead, but have a false doctrine. Yeah, absolutely. The prayer is a prayer to God to raise the dead. So if he raised somebody physically, here's what I'm saying is, here we are in the church and we see the dead saints come among us. Then this other church comes running in and says, we've had three people raised from the dead. There's a difference there. That one they're talking about is not the resurrected dead. They got resurrected and they're going to die again. They didn't come back in a glorified body.
Right.
They came back just like Lazarus in their regular body. Everybody got that?
Yes.
Okay. They're just going to come back in their normal body. But what's to say that the people over here are going to say, well, we've got part of the resurrection too. Well, then you have to, by their fruits, you'll know them. Best thing to do is grab them carnally, like my daddy's carnal, and grab the person and throw him against the wall. If he goes through it, he's glorified. If he don't, he'll probably need to be prayed for again. Everybody got that? Say amen. But true, I mean, God can raise the dead. Now, the only thing is you have to look at the fruit it bears. You look and see if that resurrected person, if he resurrects back in his regular body, that's not a glorified resurrection. That's not the resurrection we're talking about. Resurrection we're talking about is that person will never die again.
Right.
When that person walks back into this dimension, he's as glorified as Jesus was when he came out of the grave. So remember that. But also remember, like I said, there's people like Lazarus and many people that were raised, Jairus' daughter. All those people were physically raised from the dead, but they were raised back into their physical condition. There's another thing you're going to be able to tell the difference is when that person is truly resurrected in a bride rapture, they're not old.
Right.
So when you pray for and healed of something, yet you die later, that's similar to saying that if you're resurrected like your friend Daniel, right?
Yeah, right.
He's going to die a natural death.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Unless he's bright and takes a body change. But we know that he's probably going to pass on. He's older and he's not, I don't even know that he's a believer. He believes he got raised from the dead. But see, you don't have to be a believer to get raised, to be raised from the dead.
Right.
I would say a lot of people are not a lot, but several people maybe in the whole world that's been resurrected that's not Christian. That has no...
The one y'all did.
Do I?
The one that y'all prayed for. In the tractor.
Randall.
He's not a Christian.
Randall, that's what he's coming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's, that's what I mean. He's not. But there's no stipulation when it comes to healing. You got to keep Christianity and healing and glorified body. All that needs to be separated. Because it's not in one big... Just because Randall was resurrected from the dead has no bearing on his soul.
Amen.
Right. That's right.
It just raised him from the dead. He was out of his body, and then we called his body, or that Brother Dale called his body back, and there he was, and called his soul back, because his body was in my hand. But when you do that, then you have to go the next step, be a Christian, believe the message of the hour, to take a body change. See what I'm saying? So you can't just lump everything together and say, well, just because you were raised from the dead means you're going in a rapture. That has zero effect on anything but bringing you back into this world. And what it may do is, it may bring you back into this world to give you another opportunity to be saved. Remember what Brother Brown said about that girl?
Right.
And he said, I pronounced her healed and she died. And Brother Brown said, I told God he owed me an explanation. I don't think I'd ever say that. But he's what he said. He said, God, you owe me an explanation. But you know what he said? He said, he let me stew over it for 3 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Never told him nothing, but about 3 months later, he come to him and said she was supposed to die back there in that, whatever, that drowning accident or something. He said, I gave her another chance to come to me. And she did, and now she's going home. So, to me, that's
grace.
Absolutely. Amen. All this is grace. Anything you see of this is grace. It's all grace of God. Because he's the dead of both the dead and the living. You say, well, the Lord of the dead and the living. Yeah. He's Lord of everything. When he stands at that white throne judgment, all that's going to be standing in front of him is dead, basically. Spiritually dead.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to pass judgment. But he's going to also tell them, look, I came to you at a certain day. I'm telling you, that's the way I see it. God's going to say, I gave you a day, time, and a... He'll give them the hour I came to you. And you know what? That person's the only one that can know that. And he'll go, that's correct. Mm-hmm. He'll know right then that he turned it down and he's doomed. And, oh, heavenly days. So anyway, so he's Lord of the living, dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught... despise at naught thy brother, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now hold on right there. That's the same thing as what we've been talking about. You can't take general resurrection, resurrection of the dead, and glorified body resurrection. You can't put them three together. They're three totally separate things. Same way with this. We are not going to stand before the white throne judgment. So you can erase that. So there is a judgment of the deeds done in the body. He'll cover it later on, I don't think in here. But we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But you know what? You and I stand right now. Mm-hmm. This is our judgment seat. But not in your soul.
Right.
Your soul can't be judged.
It's born again.
It's judged in Him. If it's born again, you can't be judged. It was judged in Christ. So we all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So we're all going to give a judgment of things we did. Good or bad. Have to either get rid of them here or carry them over there. One of the two. But it's not going to be whether you're going to be bride or not if you're already bride. He can't take you back out of judgment. Rejudge you. There's no such thing. That's why if we'll study the law of this land, you know what double jeopardy means? Double jeopardy means you cannot be tried. If you're found innocent for murder of a certain person, you can never be tried for that again. That's been forever. You know where they got it from? They got it from the Bible. You can't be judged twice. You only judge one time.
But for one thing.
Now yes.
If he killed again.
If he killed another person, yes. But now for that, you can't bring that back. You can't even bring that back up. Remember, a lot of times they'll bring something up and the judge will say, strike that from the record. It won't be recorded. Now, a good lawyer, though, will say that and it'll be planted in somebody's mind. You know. But remember, we got a judge, we got a jury, and we got a prosecuting attorney and a defense attorney that's the same person. So, and he can forget. Because it will be brought up at a time, but he said, I don't remember that coming up in court. Thank God, because it's in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. That's why we don't have sin in our soul. We don't have sin. We're not sinners. In our soul, we're not. No, we're sinners in our spirit realm. That all right? I mean, well, we're sinners in our spirit. That's what we got to work on. Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now that's the whole summation of 1 through 12. He's summarizing this. In verse 13, if a guy wants to eat meat, like Brother Dale said, if you want to put up a Christmas tree, don't complain at the ones that don't. The ones that don't complain at the ones that do. Just leave it alone. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way, just like I said right here. He that's weak in the faith, don't sit around. See, that's what we did. I said we, all of us. From 1965 till into the 80s and maybe close to the 90s and probably still now, we've argued over different things of the message. How can you argue over something that's pure and perfect? You can't. Well, yeah, you can, but we're not supposed to. They argued over hair, dress, this, TV, don't do this, take your kids out of school, keep your kids in school, don't do this, do that, don't. That's doubtful disputation. Me and another preacher were talking on the phone the other night, and he had heard me online when we were talking about prayer lines and stuff. And to me, that's what's hurt us. And he agreed. That's what's killed us, is that we're depending on somebody else to pray for us when you got to do it yourself. I mean, you guys got to do it yourself. You got to pray for yourself. It's Catholicism. Because what is the two spirits in the framework of the church? It's not Catholicism and Branhamism. It's what I'm preaching, the seals. It's the dark horse, or the colored horse, and the white horse. It's the white dog and the black dog. And the problem is, it's like Brother Brown called, laying on of hand. Even Paul, Paul's going to cover in a little while, we're going to read it later on in the scripture, where he says, don't lay on hands. He even said that. We got to come from that. But our problem is, we have depended on it. It's been our crutch for 40 years. You're not going to take a body change going to a prayer line.
Right.
You might get healed. You might get saved. But you're not going to get a body change going to a prayer line. You're going to change. What's inside you is going to change your body. Brother Dale's not going to lay his hands on you. As mighty as we know he is. As mighty as we know God is. He's never going to lay his hands on you and say your body's changed. He can't do that. That is not his purpose.
Right.
No. That will never happen.
You've got to overcome yourself.
That's right. That's right, bud. You've got to overcome yourself. He that overcometh. It didn't say the group that overcometh.
Right.
Brother Dale's going to cover that. He that overcometh. In other words, he, she, he, slash, he. Because it's talking about the bride, so it's she. Individually, we overcome these things. That's why we don't dispute on somebody that can't overcome this. We pray for them, sure. And they pray for you, because everybody's got to, I've got a weakness that maybe you'd look at me and say, how silly. But it's mine. And I got to deal with it. I like it's your weakness, and your weakness may be something that's so frivolous that everybody kind of giggles, but you shouldn't do that. You need to help them. If that's what you got to overcome, listen. He that overcometh. Brother Brown said what? It's not what you overcome. It's how you overcome it. All right. So there's no name. There's not a list of. No. It's how you overcome it. Through Jesus Christ. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Now, he's heading back to what he was talking about. Because remember now, Paul's a Jew. He's fixing to go to Rome, which is Gentiles. But Paul's a Jew. And the Jews don't eat cloven-footed animals and all that stuff that they told them in the Old Testament not to eat. Even when God came to Peter, remember when the sheep come down and all the unclean beasts were in that vision that Peter had when he was getting ready to go to the Gentiles. Remember the angel says, eat these. Peter says, I've never eat them, never. I've never touched anything like that. And the angel says, no, wait a minute. There's nothing wrong with this. In other words, you're fixing, what Peter's saying is, I never touched them Gentiles. They're savages. They're just nations of illegitimate people. And then the angel comes up and says, well, you're fixing to go to them because you're going to open the door. And then this man named Paul's going to step in and he's going to take over. But Peter's wanted to open the door to the Gentile, going into the Gentiles. And Peter's like, oh, you're not talking about eating cows or pigs, and you're talking about going to the pig people. Yeah, we're talking about going to the pig people. There's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, Now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. In other words, you heard what I'm saying. Spiritually, same thing. You can't feed a baby T-bone steak or ribeye steak. You might can chop it up a little bit and feed it to him a little at a time, but he's going to choke eventually. So when I go somewhere, that's my whole concern, is don't let me choke the people. Now, I may have done it a long time ago. My first part of, like Brother Dick said, I bruised a lot of fruit. But now you try to be charitable to everybody in the congregation. You don't try to just, well, if they get it, they get it. They don't, they don't. No, you take your baby and then just set your baby over in the corner when it's born and say, well, you're going to get meat or you're just going to die. No, you can't do that. You go and give it some milk. Then you give it some of them old ground up green peas. But now apricots, I'm with you. See, that's why my part, I love apricots. I'd steal Anna's apricots. When Mama would feed Anna, because I'm 13 years older, so we all kind of raised Anna. Mama, I'd kind of urge her to buy apricot, extra apricot baby food, because I love them mashed up apricots. Now, the peas, she could have not bought one of them. Anna could have starved on that, but she still bought them anyway. But now them apricots, I was a little Jacob. I'd go get me a little. If she'd have looked out in the woods, she'd have found the empty jars thrown out in the woods. She's wondering where all the apricots went. There's 25 cans of green peas, but apricots are gone. That's why I like. Well, same way in the gospel. You just have to be careful. Everybody's different in the congregation. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, thou walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Alright? We have enough of that, so just be careful with it. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable with God, and proved of men. Let us therefore follow the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another. Now he's talking about spiritually, edifying spiritually. Right? For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil that man who eateth with offense. In other words, don't cram it down his throat. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? He's asking the question. Have it to thyself before God. That's what I just said before. It's an individual affair with God. We grow up this statue of perfect man as a total individual. We are not doing it as a collective group. It's individuals. All right? Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Amen. Amen? Just don't condemn yourself. And you know, if you like to drink milk, that's good. But now our age calls for more. There is more than milk. There was a time when maybe you only got milk. But when you see there's more meat, then you need to grow up and go into the meat part. But don't condemn yourself that you drink a little bit of milk every once in a while or I had cornbread and milk a couple days ago. But now I don't have it all the time. I just found some cornbread somebody hid in the back of the refrigerator. I like cornbread and milk. But if you don't like cornbread and milk, don't condemn me for liking cornbread and milk. You understand what I'm saying? In the same way in the gospel, don't condemn me for liking the deep things of God when you don't, and I shouldn't condemn you. But now I should admonish you that there is more. Well, see, there's a fine balance there. We must admonish you that there is more to have besides milk. Because, you know, if you put in a room and all you got is 50 cans of milk, that's all you know to drink. But if somebody walks in and you're about 25 and you're still drinking milk, you know, and somebody walks in and says, what, Dan, what kind of steak? What kind of steak do you like? Ribeye. Medium rare, I like it. See, I like it medium rare. Medium rare? Okay, some like it medium. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But you bring that in and go, hey, taste this. Now, if you say, no, I love my milk, there's something wrong with you at 25 years old. You need to take a bite. Now, when you take a bite of that steak, what you're going to do? You're going to throw the milk out. You're going to start eating steak. Same way in the gospel. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. So what's his whole summation of this? For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. All right, let's go. We'll explain a little more, back up a little bit next Sunday.